Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Repeat feed services in conjunction with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm here with Isabella. Now, Isabella, did you watch Doctor Who on Christmas Day?
Yes.
And what happened?
I don't know.
You don't remember what happened to Doctor Who? No, shaking your head doesn't work too well, does it? So, what did you think of it? Did you enjoy it? That doesn't work either. You shook your head. You nodded your head.
Yes.
What was your favourite bit?
Amy, a doctor.
Yeah, what was your favourite bit, though?
My bit was Doctor, because the man won't let the Doctor in his house.
Right. Won't he?
No.
Okay. Was there any beautiful ladies in it?
No.
No, okay.
Lady was in the freezer.
In the freezer?
Yeah.
What about the fish?
The fish was up the top of something.
Alright. Okay.
And the fish was in the boy's house.
Alright, okay. Well, I think that summarises A Christmas Carol rather well. So, did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Good. Would you watch it again?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 36. I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Ben, miles away.
And we are going to be talking today, surprise, surprise, about A Christmas Carol.
Ooh.
We have got feedback, but I thought...
Well, Charles Dickens Christmas Carol.
Shut up. But I will be saving that to the end of the show. Hopefully we'll have enough time if we don't sort of drone on too much about... Christmas Carol. I haven't watched...
Why are we talking about Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol?
Be quiet. I haven't listened to any other opinions or seen any other opinions from other Doctor Who fans, because I didn't want to have my opinions or our opinions tainted by them. So that's why I didn't want to do the feedback till the end of the show. Does that make sense?
That's more food.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Good. No, so, no. Let's shush, Alicia.
No, shut up, Dad.
It's probably because I've got wind. It's not food. It's actually...
That's disgusting.
Well, you had to ask.
That's disgusting.
I had roast beef for dinner today, and it was absolutely very nice.
That's disgusting.
Right. So, I will go along with my notes. Is that all right with you, Ben?
That's fine, buddy.
I'll plough on through if you want to interrupt me.
That's
at any point.
Disgusting.
What, notes are disgusting, are they?
You are.
By the way, everybody, Happy New Year, and I hope you all had a very nice Christmas. You didn't have Alicia involved in your Christmas, so it couldn't have been anywhere. Ours was nowhere near as nice as yours.
My Christmas is lovely. It's still my new year, actually.
Good. Right, so Rory and Amy are honeymooning on a spaceship, which is, they seem to have a very long honeymoon, a bit like the 10th Doctor's regeneration. Anyway, they're honeymooning on the spaceship, which is on its way to an Earth-colonised planet, which I don't remember hearing the name of.
No, I don't think they gave them
in. And it appears to be in the future, but they're all sort of wearing costumes that depict the sort of Victorian age. But they're celebrating Christmas, and Amy and Rory are dressed in what turns out to be kinky costumes, because it's not as what I thought before.
Because they lost their luggage.
Oh, they lost...
Well, that's what they claim.
Yes, that's why they claim they're trying to... make up excuses for why they're wearing what I would describe as... it's strange that they lost a luggage. The only thing they could find was a Roman outfit and a
police woman's outfit with a very short skirt.
Yeah. Anyway, rather corny comments from the ship's commander, who said Christmas is cancelled just before the title was rolled. And then Amy, it's Christmas just before the titles, which thankfully included Arthur Darvill.
You like him?
I like Arthur. Well, do you not like him then?
I've got nothing against the fella. I'm just slightly worried that you might be becoming a little bit too obsessed by him.
I like him.
Who?
Rory.
I think you're coming yourself, Dad. You're turning gay.
You're turning gay, aren't you?
Yeah.
You are so pathetic.
You're turning gay.
I like John Barrowman too.
I wasn't meaning that at all. I was meaning you have an obsession with the character.
No, I just like him. It's just nice to have a male character that's sort of got a bit of charisma other than the Doctor on in the time.
Did he remind you of Adric?
No.
Is that what it is?
Definitely not. I didn't really like Adric that much at the time that he was in.
He was soppy, wasn't he?
He certainly was. Anyway, moving on. Michael Gambon narrates the opening atmosphere shots. Everyone has Everyone has reverted to wearing Victoria's dark clothes, as I've said before. And then he suddenly, as he's narrating it, suddenly becomes the character and becomes horrible and nasty.
Isn't the person Dumbledore?
Michael Gambon.
He plays Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I think everybody knows that, though, Alicia. That's the big... thing, a big sort of hook, the fact they've got Dumbledore in it this time.
I don't know.
Is he Dumbledore, or is he the man who the last took corner on the Top Gear test track's named after?
I don't know. That's a good one. I'll have to investigate that one.
Anyway,
he plays the Scrooge-like character, Kazran Sadiq, who takes family members from people he lends money to. It's a bit of a pawn shop, but he takes people instead of like jewellery, and uses them as keeps them as an insurance, so as he can definitely get their money back. And he frees them in sort of like Iceland, isn't it? It's like an Iceland, but with people.
I didn't see any chicken nuggets in any of those freezers, though.
No, they didn't show any of that. Maybe artistic and sort of advertising.
Maybe they're the ones at the back.
Certainly lots of fish down there.
Yeah.
Anyway, for some reason, the Doctor arrives down the chimney, which was
a bit odd. Christmas!
Yes. He tries to operate the weather machine that would help save the ship, on which is crashing, and Amy and Rory are crashing on this ship, and the controls are isomorphic, but so only Sardic can control them, and he's feeling a bit Alicia-ish and can't be bothered to help. So the Doctor decides he's going to be inspired by Charles Dickens and try and show him his ways and how he should sort of look back on his life and find goodness in his heart and stuff.
Don't you think that was one of the best lines in the programme after Doctor Who came down the chimney? Sorry, the Doctor came down the chimney. When Michael Gambon looked at him and was like, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Sorry, it's Christmas. I saw a chimney and a rooftop. I couldn't help myself."
That was quite good.
Brilliant line.
And the 11th Doctor to a T. I'd say that was sort of only the 11th Doctor really could pull that one off. Or maybe the second as well, perhaps, I don't know. But I'm doing lots of pregnant pauses, Alicia, which I think I should probably edit out. I did think at this point that the easiest way to save all this shenanigans would have been just to materialise the TARDIS on the spaceship, get everybody off and let the spaceship crash. But then I suppose we wouldn't have had much of a story then. But then
that would have killed people on the ground, wouldn't it? And it's still
not necessarily. If he's got everybody, he could then done sort of tractor beam thing. Remember in one of the Doctor Who stories when Tennant was in, they towed a whole planet back.
They towed the Earth, yeah.
Yes,
so
to its
towing the spaceship should be too tricky.
Exactly. But anyway. I'd imagine it, as I say, that says on my notes, it would have been easier to materialise a TARDIS in the ship and risk it. Anyway, we see these fish that can swim in fog, and apparently that's because that was just to enable Stephen Moffat to realise a childhood nightmare of being chased by sharks out of water. For me, that didn't work particularly well. I thought it was a bit silly, but...
It didn't add anything to the story, did it?
They did look quite cute, so swimming around lamps, and just where the shot where it sort of they peck at the sonic screwdriver was well done, but slightly pointless. The psychic paper, you know, it didn't work properly because the Doctor's lie was too big. I mean, how can a lie be more of a lie than another lie? It's still a lie.
Yeah, so I didn't like that, actually.
That was
I thought
a bit stupid. Anyway, the old Kazran is watching as the Doctor records images on his laptop. The young Kazran, this is where it gets confusing, young Kazran's laptop and being projected onto a screen, blah, 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 blah. And I quite like that sort of timey-wimey thing where he's sort of in the room with him and then suddenly he's on the screen.
I thought that was fantastically written.
Yeah.
And really well written, really clever.
The only bit that it fell down a little bit is when the shark comes through the door and smashes the computer, yet he's still able to see what's going on when they're down in the vault, you know, trying to get the number into the pad. How are they able to see that? Because the computer's gone, so the camera's gone. But I like the bit where he nips back and gets the number off Sardik, and then, you know, I guess that's quite good, that bit. So it sort of redeems itself a little bit. But that's the only bit I thought was a bit odd, because there are other bits where you don't see an image. It's just Sardik remembering things. He's sort of not watching anymore. He's actually just sort of seeing the images in his own mind.
Yeah.
The notes say it's also an attempt to enter the underground vault between the funerals. They don't know the codes of the vault, so Kazran screams a number while the doctor nips back and gets it. And then they have a sort of really pathetic scene where the shark's dying. Well acted, I have to say, by the boy who plays the young Kazran. That was quite a nice scene, apart from it was a bit silly. Oh, the poor shark, oh dear, I didn't want it to die, and all that sort of thing, even though it was just about to eat you. And
it tried to eat them again.
Yeah, it tried to eat them again.
Does that help sharks?
Anyway, they think they need a... This is why they go into the vault, because they want an ice box to save the shark, so they can take it up into the sky and release it. Mm. And then they find Abigail Pettigrew and release her from the freezer, maybe because she just happens to look exactly like Catherine Jenkins, I don't know. And of course, her singing magically has a hypnotic effect on the shark and the fish, and it doesn't kill them. And so Abigail and then Kazran embark on some adventures in the TARDIS whilst they release the shark into the sky. Isn't that not the bit where they have the first of the stupid bits where they get towed around in the sky by the shark?
Yeah, again, pointless.
Indeed, stupid as well. Or absurd was the word that sprung to mind when I was watching it. Anyway.
I think it just was meant to... obviously create a bit of Christmas fantasy, which it did very well, but it didn't add anything to the story. The whole, sort of floating fishes, floating shark thing didn't do anything for me at all, and I didn't actually know that Stephen Moffat had a nightmare when he was a kid about being chased by a shark.
That was from the confidential that I forgot to record and had to watch on iPlayer.
I've got to be honest, I didn't see that at all. I had to catch up with
it. Alicia's making a massive contribution to this podcast, as per usual.
Me ask for my opinion.
Well, go on then, what do you think of it? Have you been here and listening to what I've been saying?
Yes, about...
So what did you think then?
Of Christmas Carol.
Well, we've only got up to the bit so far where him and Abigail have rescued the shark and taken...
I like that shark.
Grief. What was that noise? Have you just disconnected everything? I don't know. Anyway, yes, so she liked the shark. That's basically what you got up to.
What?
Are you still there, Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm good.
I did like the scenes from Matt Smith with when the little fishy and then the big fishy came along and how he explained it to you.
Well, the fact that the sonic screwdriver got bitten in half, etc. I suppose that just sort of gave you forewarning to the fact that the shark was coming. But did you know they did do a little bit of Jaws music, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's quite funny. So anyway, back to the storyline. There was a bit where Abigail says to the doctor, "You're a doctor, you say. Are you one of mine?" Which was a clue that there was something not quite right about Abigail. And then they go on that absurd shark-drawn cart ride, which is ridiculous, and then they come back every Christmas Eve, and the old Kazran gains even more new memories, and he looks for his photographs, etc. And then the boy Kazran becomes a young man, and surprise, surprise, they fall in love. But the counter on Abigail's freezer box counts down mysteriously. Kazran and Abigail inevitably fall in love. As it says, they meet Abigail's family, as we did at the beginning of the story, which I've mentioned so far. But here, obviously, the family is younger, but they're still poor, but they're still happy nonetheless. I think that was a bit typical Christmassy sort of claptrap. They meet. Then Abigail sobs to Kazran that she's sad because this is a life she can never have. Another clue to her condition, perhaps. Obviously, a bit of comedy then ensues with the doctor trying card tricks out on Abigail's nephew unsuccessfully, which obviously that was Matt Smith, who was particularly good in those sorts of scenes anyway. He did a scene like that at the Doctor Who proms with a stooge in the audience. Mm-hmm. If you saw that, this was quite much better acted out than that particular scene. Kazran and Abigail kiss. Poor Kazran. He asked the doctor's advice, but
I wouldn't say poor Kazran. Well, not Abigail.
No, that was not. I'm saying poor Kazran because
Catherine Jenkins.
Because he's fallen in love, but obviously, you know, you feel sorry for him because you can't sort of do it many more times. You know, the doctor. He asked the doctor's advice, and the doctor says, "Just be all nervous and rubbish at it." And then we have some more absurd.
Funny line, wasn't it?
It was.
He said, Doctor, I think she's about to kiss me. What do I do? And he looks back and says, I have absolutely no idea.
And then we have this rather absurd scene where the Doctor's engaged to Marilyn Monroe while Abigail breaks the truth. Oh, Alicia, hello. Yeah?
Yes.
The Doctor breaks... Abigail breaks the truth of her condition to Kazran, but we don't hear
What's her condition?
She's dying.
Is that it?
I think that's
you
fake
didn't
legend.
Find out what, did you?
Didn't really matter, did it?
No, not really.
They say goodbye for the last time in Kazran and no longer wants the Doctor to return over Christmas Eve. But it takes the broken Sonic in case he ever needs to call the Doctor. And of course, he does try it out, and the Doctor does appear at the window, but he draws the curtain.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Before he's even got it out.
Yes.
I like you, you're my friend, didn't he? It was sad. It was kind of like. Do you know what that reminded me of, that whole little segment?
No.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, because it's the same kind of thing, isn't it? They became good friends, they hung around together, they had a giggle. But then, one of them grew up and didn't want to hang around with
Do you know, Ben, I've only really heard the song and never really listened to the words of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Don't listen to the words. Even at 36 years old, it still makes me cry.
Okay. I'll look into that one. Moving on. Amy and Rory then appear as ghosts of Christmas present, as holograms, obviously, to show the old Kazran, the people who he's
Amy
going to let
appears.
Die.
Only Amy appears.
No, Rory appears as well.
Only for a brief bit.
And then he does also, when he pops into shot, and then when Kazran appears on the deck of the ship, he sees Rory then as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's revealed that Abigail only has one day to live after using up the last few days gallivanting on consecutive Christmas Eves. Kazran's hologram is transported to the bridge of the stricken ship where the commander offers up one last plea, which Kazran then rebuffs. And, of course, the doctor overhears this, and Kazran goes off on a rant saying he doesn't care about the fate of others. He demands that the doctor show him the future, and the doctor says he already is because he's brought along
the little
boy Kazran, who he's going to hit, but decides to break down and club instead.
Don't know. That was the whole thing about his father.
His father used
hitting
to hit
the children and hitting him.
Yeah.
But then Kazran himself, when he was old, didn't hit the boy, threw the lump of coal at him, and then he didn't hit himself to show that he was actually changing from his father, which he didn't want to turn into.
The only thing that I got from
Why would you hit yourself?
Because they don't see each other. Kazran, the old Kazran, saw the young Kazran as just a boy, and the young Kazran saw the old Kazran as his father, so it was basically a sort of role reversal. Well, yeah.
Very good, very clever.
But what I got from that was, you know, in Doctor Who Gone By, there was always some sort of strange thing of meeting yourself, something...
It doesn't matter if you're not the same age, we've been through this.
Have we?
Yeah, you've got to...
But what about the Brigadier in Mordred and Undead, who was only 5 years older, and didn't have a tash? Yeah, there was an explosive effect when they met. I think they just knocked each other out. But nothing happened in this instance.
Well, that's the continuity department.
Okay.
You need to have a word with there. Okay. But no, I mean, you're right. I mean, it used to be a case that you're not allowed to meet yourself. If you meet yourself, there'll be a whole ripping time and everything. And well, that's actually, if you even go back to the episode of Rose's father dying. What's the name of that one? Series one.
Father's Day?
Yeah, Father's Day.
That's the one. there's the bit there, isn't there, where Rose and the Doctor are on the corner and they have to go back in time to try and save him a second time because they didn't save him a first time. And the Doctor was like, no, you can't do that because if you meet yourself, there'll be a rip in the fabric of time and all these evil monsters will come out and blah, 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 blah. So even going back just five series, they were mentioning that they seem to make their own rules up, but you're allowed to do that in science fiction.
Yes, but I just thought I'd pick that one out as something that stuck in my mind whilst watching it. A third time. I have three times I watched this program. Once on Christmas Day when
you watched it three times.
Yeah, Christmas Day we watched it.
Yeah.
With lots of interruptions from various people.
Yeah.
Then I watched it again to actually try and take in the story. Yeah, and so then I watched it a third time to actually make notes.
I know, we watched it at dinner time.
Yeah, thank you, Alicia.
I didn't get to see it Christmas Day, very disappointingly. I watched it but I couldn't hear it because
similar problem I had.
Well, my niece is watching a Peppa Pig video, and that's never good when you're trying to watch Doctor.
That's true. But I mean, also, it's difficult to take everything in, and I didn't really take everything as I was a little bit confused the first time I watched it. Wasn't best off, actually, after the second time, to be honest with you. But there you go. Anyway, so he's converted after this cuddle he has with himself, with his younger self and older self, whatever you want to get. But unfortunately, he's changed so much that he can't control the weather machine because he's no longer isomorphic. And
he's isomorphic.
He's in one with the machine. So
I've got a point on isomorphic controls, which you talk about.
Like, last time I heard of it was in The Two Doctors, if I remember rightly. Was that correct? Yeah. Or the doctor was supposed to be with
the Mars.
Oh, that was it. Yes.
Pyramids of Mars, where he tells I can't remember someone that the TARDIS controls are
isomorphic. Yes.
Oh, but if you then remember, in The Last of the Time Lords.
Yeah.
It wasn't The Last of the Time Lords, was it? It was the last one with Donna in the. It was the last. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
What was it then, Aisha?
It was the last series of episode 4.
Oh, wasn't it the one with the Daleks and all the Earth?
Well, most of the last episodes of the series have Daleks in, Aisha.
No, the one with all the companions coming back.
Yeah,
it was the one where they were towing
Stolen Earth.
Yes.
On Earth, yeah.
Yes.
Because if you remember there, you had, you had six people standing around the console, all operating a different bit like the Doctor said it was meant to be. This is meant to be flown. And the Doctor wasn't even flying it. Wasn't he walking around?
So there was a bit... There's quite a lot of this sort of contradiction about the isomorphic controls of the TARDIS, because Adric flew the TARDIS. Romana's flown it. Amy's flown it. Who else has it? Tegan flew it sideways.
No,
Donna.
The one in the future. The future.
Master.
The future companion, who keeps coming back.
Oh yes, of course, River.
River. She knows how to fly it.
Yes, well done, Alicia. Yeah, we got a contribution there from Alicia Pearson to be heard on iTunes via the 20 Megabyte podcast at some time.
River Song's coming back.
Thank you for that.
She is locked.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We're still on Christmas Carol at the moment, Alicia. After that, there was what I thought was a great scene between Catherine Jenkins and Michael Gambon when she sings the song and she's beginning the last day of her life and sees the old Kazran, but she still sort of sees him as Kazran and is very... I thought that was a really, really good scene, that, and I didn't expect that from her. Obviously, she's not an experienced actress.
Catherine Jenkins.
Let
me say about the great line, please, Alicia.
That they opened up the casket, that she was casket, that sounds wrong, isn't it? The ice box that she was in. And she said, oh, you've grown so old. And he's like, oh, you've only got one day, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, but we've done lots of Christmas Eves. Now let's do a Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a lovely line.
Yeah.
Really, really nice.
Alicia, what were you going to say?
It's not a surprise that Catherine Jenkins done a lot in this episode.
No, I'll come to Catherine Jenkins in a minute.
But do you think she actually sung that while they were filming? Or did
she did. Well, you didn't see the confidential, did you? They recorded it.
Yeah.
So that all you hear is the recorded version, but she did actually sing it.
Whoa.
But she says when you're it's got to look real, so she had to sing it on set. Because your voice box moves when you sing. So
you can't mind that.
No, so she sung it, and then they dubbed over the recorded version.
Which is fair enough.
But they showed on the confidential a bit of her singing it. No, the only thing that was different was the fact you didn't have the background music.
Really?
Yeah. She, wow.
Her voice is that amazing.
Well, she is.
She's
that
quite
amazing.
Successful.
She's pretty brilliant, actually. Yes. Catherine Jenkins, Alicia. Maybe you need to do some research.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Even I've got about three Catherine Jenkins songs on my iPod.
Because one time I was watching the Graham Norton show and she was on it, and Graham Norton said. It was, I don't know what it was, something to do with this cat, who, this dog who sings Catherine Jenkins, and yeah. Catherine Jenkins actually sung live, and the dog started howling.
Oh, excellent. yes, dogs sometimes howl at things that are nice. Yes, so, like I say, that scene really stood out for me because, you know, I was expecting her to be a bit wooden in it, but and she's so,
she's
you know, she doesn't crow about, she's very talented and she doesn't crow about mm-hmm. things. And if I'd not known, if I was, say, you know, maybe somebody who's never heard of Catherine Jenkins and just watched that, I wouldn't know that she wasn't a, you know, a seasoned actress.
Mm-hmm.
And was sort of rather bowled over by that scene. I thought she was brilliant in that. Yeah. And probably brilliant in most of the bits she'd done in it.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, very good.
And so I didn't think she was playing Catherine Jenkins at all, because obviously seen her in interviews and stuff. I thought she really did play a very good part. And the song written by Mary Gold and sung by her, which was When You're Alone, Silence Is All You See, etc., mm-hmm. etc.
I like which that. Seems, I like that song.
Yes, it was good. Hopefully it'll be available soon on iTunes. Anyway, it seems to be an obvious lead onto the oncoming Silence Will Fall theme. I don't know if that was meant to be. I think it probably was.
What?
Silence Will Fall is the theme for the next series.
When you're alone, silence all about.
We've got Catherine Jenkins in the room.
Yes, I know. You know what? It's a cat version.
I thought it was. I was amazed. Was that Alicia?
Yeah.
No, it's a cat. It's a cat.
Anyway, as I say, I've got them in the notes. It's hopefully available soon on iTunes. A. Reese. Obviously, that's Reese Parton, who is absolutely mad on Murray Gold's music and rather sings its praises on his podcast, and rightly so. So my summary just is very Christmassy. I did think of all the Christmas specials, it was the one that evoked the atmosphere of Christmas the best so far. The other side of it was very sentimental, and RTD would have absolutely loved it.
Do you think he still watches Doctor Who?
Of course he watches Doctor Who. He's a mad Doctor Who fan.
I think on that score, though, it's obviously changed. It sounds an obvious comment, but the direction of the show has changed since RTD left and Moffat took over. And I think that's why there are some continuity differences, even yes. between Series 5 and 1 to 4.
But he's trying to sort of, like... do this time could be rewritten thing, isn't it? And I think that's probably how he's going to get away with these things that he's doing.
You better not do a big reset when he leaves.
Better not do it. I agree. That's true. Like I say, it says very Christmassy. It's very sentimental. There was certainly a great deal of absurdities in the story. Mm-hmm. But Marilyn even though right. with all the bad bits, obviously, I did actually really enjoy it. And I'd say on three watchings, I thought I was trying to find... Matt Smith is just so brilliant. I don't think, even in a poor Doctor Who story, he just takes the show and makes it a watchable Doctor Who story. I know one of the people who's a member of the group, who's not really a Doctor Who fan, called Lucia, she sent in and said how rubbish Doctor Who was, how rubbish the Christmas special was, and how rubbish Matt Smith was, and only could manage to watch the two episodes of the last series before giving up. Because I think basically she's such a mad David Tennant fan, not a Doctor Who fan.
Hey.
Well, never mind, Alicia.
I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? Because I'm sure every time anyone speaks to anyone about Doctor Who, you always get onto the subject of who's your favourite Doctor. And, you know, I did with my cousin, actually, just back end of last week, and she's 5-6 years older than me, and she said, oh, my favourite Doctor Who, oh, Tom Baker. And I'm like, well, yeah, but my Peter Davison, because that's who you grew up with. And it's the same with this Matt Smith, David Tennant thing. Matt Smith, in 10 years' time, when you look back at it, will be remembered as a really good Doctor. He acts really well, he plays the part brilliantly. And I don't mind him. He's all right. And the problem people have got with Matt Smith is that he's not David Tennant.
That's right.
He's watched earlier,
just lunchtime. I don't know if you saw today on BBC One. There would they re-showed Last Christmas's, actually it was the New Year's Day special.
Yeah.
The one where David regenerates.
I watched that.
Fantastic episode.
Yeah.
And David Tennant. You know, I was watching it with my wife and my daughter, and they don't really watch Doctor Who at all. They've seen bits here and there, and you know what you're having, and you know. They both looked at him and just thought, yeah, he's the Doctor. David Tennant is still the Doctor, I think, in a lot of people's minds. And so you have this issue where they can't get over the fact that he's not. And because he made the role so his own.
Yeah.
I hate to sound like Louis Walsh there. He made the role his own. It's hard for anyone to then take over it.
Yeah.
It, as I say, even though Matt Smith does a great job, he plays it very well. He's a great Doctor.
I mean,
but because he's not David Tennant, he's got the stigma of not being.
I had to look at the negatives for this episode, and the negatives would be, there wasn't enough Amy and Rory in it. I thought that would imprison them on the ship where they couldn't actually really be actively involved in the episode. I understand why they did it, because it's a Christmas special. They don't normally have companions in Christmas specials, so they need to have them on the side though, so the Doctor could interact with the sort of characters of the day, which obviously were Kazran and Abigail. But it was a shame.
They were on quarter wage for that, by the way. They did not a lot. No.
But like I say, I suppose the idea was to have people enjoy it, and I enjoyed it. I just found a few irritating things: the fly, which was stupid. But Catherine Jenkins, Michael Gambon, and Matt Smith, amazing. They really did sort of make it an enjoyable. A jaunt, I think, as you could call it.
I completely agree. I thought Catherine Jenkins, if you didn't know she wasn't an actress before, then you wouldn't have had any idea at all that she's a singer who has never acted in her life. Because I thought she was brilliant.
Yeah.
She was Michael Gambon. You don't expect anything less.
No, it's true. That was just so memorable, from that scene between the two of them, because him being what he is, and she being somebody who hasn't really acted before.
Yeah.
And I know he probably helped her through that scene, but you wouldn't have thought that while watching it.
He was brilliant. Really, really good. The character, totally believable in all three guises of his father.
Oh yeah, the lads are really good. The young nipper was good. The sort of
the teenager.
Yeah,
the ball guy.
Yeah,
I suppose he didn't play that one, obviously. But the two he played, brilliant.
Yeah,
really, really.
And of course,
good.
He played it. As the cameo as the father as well, and he played that differently with a different accent as well, didn't he? And that was really, really good. Unbelievable.
Superb man. And added. I mean, because it would be so easy to say, right, we've got one of the most famous classically trained actors to come and take the lead role in the Christmas special, of Doctor Who, and he turned up and he reads his lines and he does his bit and he kind of like, yeah, there you go, done it. But he was he turned up and he took it seriously. It was a proper part,
and you'd expect nothing less. I mean, obviously
you wouldn't.
Alicia, have you got any thoughts on what did you think on the whole of the Christmas special?
I liked it.
Okay, that's great. And Spitz,
that was
you
good
did,
contribution.
Anything you didn't particularly like about it? Anyway, we'll move on.
Alicia's back. Catherine Jenkins is gone.
Hoping to get to fit the feedback into this episode. So I wanted to quickly talk about the preview for Series 6. Okay. I've made some notes. Surprise, surprise. Before we go on that, there was a moment actually in the Christmas special in which the Doctor says, "Interesting," which was exactly like Davison. Because Davison always used to say that. Because he looks a little bit like Davison, though, as some people have mentioned. I thought that was
quite funny. The other thing that needs to be pointed out about this episode, and considering the comments that were made at the beginning of the podcast, I'm surprised you didn't mention it.
Yeah, go on.
Rory Arthur.
Yeah.
Was included in the credits.
Yes, that's what I said at the beginning.
For the first time.
Yes. I did say that, didn't I?
Did you?
Yes,
no,
I did.
No,
I'm afraid
didn't.
I did. Oh, well, we better listen back, listeners.
No, Dad.
Be
Dad.
Quiet.
Alicia, now, you obviously live with your old man, and if he's got that wrong, you're going to have to, pull his toenails
that's
out.
That was the first bit of my notes.
Disgusting!
That was the first...
Oh, no, I'm blinded by... You know that fire, Dad, we got in front of us?
Yeah.
I'm blinded by it. I can't see a fin.
There's no fishes in there, so you won't... Oh, yeah, we have got a bowl of fish.
I can't see a fin.
You can see a fin.
A fish tank with no fish in it. Anyway.
What the hell?
Moving on. So, yes, the preview. We had a Three Musketeers scene, and then we had a Second World War scene, and there's a scene in which the TARDIS, where the Doctor, Amy and River are leaving in haste, but where is Rory? There is a scene where the Doctor appears to be in the Oval Office in the White House. We see a Utah scenic sort of doodah with desert and that, and the Doctor wearing a Stetson wicks gets shot off his head by River. And then we see the Doctor with a beard looking like Robinson Crusoe. He appears to have been kept prisoner for a while. And then we see River entering what looks like a different TARDIS console room, which looks very much like the one from the Lodger. And then we see like an astronaut, like the ones we saw in Ambassadors of Death. So, and of course he says Fezzes are back, and so is River and the Ood. So those are my little notes. So I think we can sort of look forward to a few very mysterious things going on in the next series. But I think the astronaut one did look so much like the Ambassadors of Death astronauts. I think they may be bringing them back.
Well, just as you were talking about that, I've just been watching it, actually.
Yes.
And a few things. The Doctor, before you see him all scruffy and beard look liking and everything, it says, do not approach the prisoner. There's a sign there saying do not approach the prisoner. He's guarded. And so obviously he's been captured by somebody or something.
Yeah.
And that's going to be one of the stories. Looking at the console room that you talked about there.
Yeah.
It's got four or five pods coming off it, basically. Kind of fin shape. And is that River Song walking towards it? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And the astronauts, as you say. So, there's some very interesting bits. Oh, and River Song looking quite naked there, but
it's
TV. You wouldn't expect that to be. Some new aliens there.
John Barrowman was naked once, wasn't he, if I remember rightly?
That is true. In the final episode of Christopher Eccleston's, that was his second final one, wasn't it, when he was getting done over by Trini and Susanna?
Yeah.
And he had the gun hidden somewhere.
Yes, and he was genuinely naked.
Who's naked?
Oh, go back to sleep.
In that scene.
Yeah.
I can't see anything. I'm not joking. I think it's all different colours.
I don't care. So,
what's the writing about on Amy's face?
I thought that was reminiscent. Here we go. Go on quickly. Shut up.
I think it's supposed to do Satan.
Well, it's a bit like the writing from the Satan Pit and
that's what I was thinking, but it's not quite
the same characters. No, it's very similar. But I noticed River had this. Right, thank you.
Yeah, well, I was just about to say that. River's got her arm as well.
So maybe there is a connection there. I'm rushing through a little bit, but moving on to feedback. Robert Haynes writes, thanks for accepting my friend request. Only got the internet in September, which is when I could finally look up things of interest. Oh, God, it looked up nice. It was...
He's not doing very well, is he?
I'm not very good at reading. I do apologise.
Not you.
It was also when I could at last connect with iTunes and discover your podcast. I don't have time or patience to listen to many podcasts, which I soon realised after I downloaded and subscribed to a heap of them. I kept your podcast because you make me laugh. Before I go to bed, I listen. I only just listened to the one you made before Christmas, and I wonder what my wife made of me laughing seemingly to myself, especially when you were doing Sil's laugh and Alicia thought you were being a bit rude. I'm actually from the UK. Born in a military hospital in Yorkshire, my dad is in the army and lived in Exeter before we moved to Australia in 1977.
What kind of accent's he going to have then if he was born in
Yorkshire? We should have made you read though. You can do Australian accents, can't you? One of my memories of just before leaving the UK was seeing Robots of Death on TV, one of my all-time favourite Doctor Who stories. The Australian Broadcasting Commission, the equivalent here of the BBC, has been getting better with their broadcasting of Doctor Who since its return. When it came back, the ABC showed Series 1 just as it had finished in the UK. That happened for a few years, with this year showing Matt Smith's series only 2 weeks behind UK transmission. And the Christmas special was shown on Boxing Day here instead of being shown at the start of the next series, as it used to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The specials of 2009 were shown about a month after transmission in the UK, so we saw David Tennant regenerate late in January. I did email the ABC, now that I have the internet, to thank them for just showing Doctor Who, but which is a good thing in itself. Actually, I just had to tell you, Adam, that your voice reminds me of Brian Croucher of Robots of Death. later Travis, number two in Blake Seven.
I hope that's a compliment.
I don't know.
I think it was.
You reckon?
Backhanded.
Yeah. I had to look you up on Facebook so I could see what you actually looked like. Oh dear.
That's what everybody does this day. It's quite funny.
I should have kept that Tom cat on
there
instead.
I like when people go, when you keep in contact with people not going to school, they go, I fancy someone, you go, who is it? Okay, and I say the name and go, okay, I'm looking him up on Facebook just to see what they look like.
Moving on. On to the Christmas special. I, for reasons I can't explain, don't feel as much anticipation to Doctor Who since Stephen Moffat took over producing. It's just that having watched the stories, I feel that it isn't reached the highs I'm expecting. The buzz is missing. Though I do have to say that everyone does such a good job on the show, and I do enjoy it. Matt Smith and company are great. I look forward to the new series, and being split in two will make the series seem longer.
Yay!
I hope so.
I'm still not keen on it.
Well, we'll see. I did want to say that I'm also looking forward to more Torchwood and agree with your last comments. It looks like we're in for some good stuff. With my collecting, I'd have to say I only collect what I want to, never mind about something being rare. I'm on a disability pension, so I can't really get all that much anyway. Thanks to Amazon and my wife's credit card, I seem to have completed my Target book collection, as well as the Howe, Stammers, Walker, DW handbooks and the 60s, 70s, 80s large format books. My wife has now banned me from a credit card. Not surprised.
Oh, do you know what? Yeah, that kind of comes as the conclusion to a story I was kind of expecting there.
I've managed over time to collect all the DVDs. I don't buy the vanilla new series releases, but wait until the box sets come out. That's what I do, really. I put the box sets on lay-by if I can, and pay them off, as it's such a big expense. You know, it all is quite expensive, isn't it?
Well, it is massively expensive, really. Well, it's about £50 for that.
Yeah, well, I always wait to the... Fortunately, the box sets come out near Christmas. I always sort of just say, can I have that for Christmas, please? And usually, Father Christmas does pay. Anyway. Where did I get up to? Pardon, what did you say?
I said it did come for me this year.
Oh, Ben.
It didn't get Series 5. I haven't got it yet.
Oh, dear.
Father Christmas bought me an iPhone.
Stupid Father Christmas. Yeah, over here, the Sarah Jane Adventures are only shown on pay TV, which we can't afford, so I wait for the DVD releases. We've only had Series 1 and 2 released so far. Same here, actually. I haven't yet watched those so far, and I'm still going through the classic series releases. Watching Caesar Doom today after having finished Silver Nemesis, I go through each release by first watching them on the production subtitles and extras, then with audio commentary. Things like War Games took me ages to get through. We've only just seen the release of the Doctor Who movie on DVD here. Revisitations box set. Well, I've rambled on heaps, but that's a bit of my experience of following Doctor Who here in Australia. If you reckon that you had a long way to go for Christmas Day, then you should visit Australia. We've got miles and miles of nowhere here. I used to spend...
But they did get Christmas Day 12 hours before us.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. And New Year's Day. I used to spend 2 hours or so each day taking my wife to work and picking her up again. Travelling to work 100 kilometres away is not unheard of. Take care, and all the best for the new year. Nice to hear you're still doing the podcast, Alicia. Don't let Dad kick you off. Bye.
He annoys me.
Mm-hmm. He annoys Dad. I don't kick her off. I just tell her the time to record if she's not there.
Yeah, Dad, did you find out where the Doctor's shirt's from? Is it from
not
Jack
yet,
Wells?
No. I'm not sure. I will
if
try.
If it is, I'm going to like it more now, because he's got good taste.
Stop digressing. Next one. Hi, Adam, Ben, and the podcast sleeper, stroke disruptor, X Factor contestant in training.
Maybe your X Factor doesn't work out that
well. Well, the great Toffee MN, Stephen Moffat, did promise the most Christmassy Doctor Who episode ever, and what it had to compete with as well. Not exactly the best of the best. Christmas Invasion or the Next Doctor would be my choice for the competition to A Christmas Carol. And, well, Christmas Invasion has always been too chintzy for my taste. which leaves the next Doctor. Hmm. Okay, ignoring the Cyber King, then we might have a fight. Okay. The fact is, the only thing that spoiled the next Doctor for me was the Cyber King walking all over London. For most. For me, I love the next Doctor. Yes, each to his own. I'm a big Cyberman fan. So that would be the episode I would choose for comparison. And there is a lot similar. A cold-hearted person who the Doctor has to reach out to. Time travel, memories. But to be quite honest, A Christmas Carol has to win the story as only a couple of loopholes. Sharks changing size, for an example, and the Doctor missing important details like the number changing in Abigail's fridge. The detail being missed by the Doctor is nothing for 11. Elliot missing from the church in Hungry Earth as an example. Did you understand that one?
Nope.
Which leaves a spectacle of the show. For me, there's nothing to moan about or reality at all. Great use of time travel, characterisation, well done. Abigail only having, at the beginning, 8 days to live. The Moth's way of saying he can have a bad side, so live every day as if it was your last. The episode only gets better with each viewing, and I've not had time to really spot all the detail. On first viewing, a solid 4, but I think through time it will rise up to a 5 out of 5. All the best for now, and Happy New Year, your pal in podcasting. I, Graham, the Second Doctor Sheridan. Now, it made me think of something, and I can't remember what it was. About the watching it a few times. I must admit, a lot of things I can't really watch more than once. I get a bit bored, but I have enjoyed it more each time I've watched it. And I know that people say that television programmes aren't really designed for that. You're supposed to really take it in on the first one, and they're not that much good if you have to watch them 3 or 4 times to actually get what they're all about. But this day and age is a DVD day and age where people watch things over and over again. And 40 Towers is something I've watched hundreds of times and I never get bored of. And I'd have to agree with that. It's one thing. It's a good idea to watch things. Amy's Choice is one I hated first time I watched it, but now I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it is one of those things that you can either watch, you know, but it's all in your personality. You either watch it once or watch it loads of times. And I said, you know, just 20 minutes ago, the episode I watched earlier, it was only the second time I've seen last New Year's special. And I probably enjoyed it more this time than I did last time.
Yeah.
And I knew obviously remembered the story, knew what was going to happen. There's a couple of bits that I'd forgotten about, which is nice to refresh your memory on. Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing with Doctor, there's always so much to see in each episode that watching it once, I don't think does the episode and the time it made, that time it took to make it justice.
Said last week, that, you know, or maybe a week before, I can't remember, that most of the new series I've only watched once. So at least the fact I've only watched them once, I'll probably get more out than the second time, and I can enjoy them a bit better because I don't know them inside out, you know.
And watching with me.
Be okay.
Pardon?
I'm watching with me.
Really?
I think I'm definitely going to start watching some of the new ones again, just simply because it's, you know, I've enjoyed watching the ones I've seen twice recently.
Yeah.
And it just makes you think, well, actually, one of them, you know, got 45 minutes to spare.
We have another bit of feedback from Sean from the TARDIS Tavern. It says, greetings, Sean. Adam, Alicia and Ben. Yay,
I'm
feedback.
I'm liking this. This is 2 emails in a row that's had my name on.
yay, feedback.
Makes
this is
almost
we were on the TARDIS Tavern, Alicia, but she probably doesn't remember. She was a cocktail waitress on the TARDIS.
No, I wasn't. I was just...
And she completely disgraced herself. And funny enough, after the TARDIS Tavern, our show... The listeners went up for a little while, so, and then you joined, and they went up even more, so hopefully that's going to carry on. Anyway, I'll carry on, sorry. Yay, feedback. Great show. You guys keep me laughing on my Tuesday morning commute. Oh dear, I think we've overshot that one. Not sure which is funnier, Alicia's inane comments or your frustrated reactions. Anyway, A Christmas Carol. It has its good points, excellent acting and set design, beautiful effects and a touching storyline. I think most of this has already been podcasted or blogged about before. I'm finding myself a little bit nitpicky about the Matt Smith era, although, and I think this has its flaws. The shark was simply ridiculous, particularly when it substituted for a reindeer. I also couldn't be convinced that Michael Gambon's character simply refused to save the lives of 4,000 crew members simply because he didn't care. Who is this guy, Davros? But in the end of the, at the end of the day, it was light, fluffy, and tasted swell. Happy New Year, love, Sean.
Woo! Oh, short and succinct.
Moving on to another bit of feedback via Facebook. It says, I posted a picture of me with my girls with the Jelly Babies. This is Kirby Bartlett Sloan, who won our best feedback competition.
I've seen the picture.
You've seen it, have you?
I've looked at it about 2 minutes ago.
And he said the consensus with the girls that the Bassetts are much better, so I was right. They didn't quite understand why I was singing and dancing and saying you should stick with the Bassetts Jelly Babies. So I am vindicated there.
He
went on to say, did Isabella like having a character, albeit a minor character, with her name in the Christmas special, assuming she watched the special, as you never know when Amy fell down? Now, I think I spotted the Isabella. I don't think Isabella did, though, although she usually does. She's sort of quite good at spotting her own name.
Daughters are good at doing that.
Yeah. Where's Jewelman from the Omega podcast says, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
James Gerer from, this is a Twitter thing, says, no problem, you and Alicia are great in the 20 megabyte latter more comedy, more for comedy, LOL, and it's even better now Ben's in there. Happy New Year. And that concludes a rather bountiful collection of bits of feedback.
I was quite impressed by all of them. I enjoyed hearing them.
I'm quite impressed I managed to get through it without getting a very dry throat.
I have a drink on hand. I've
drunk it. It's gone. A glass of sherry.
Get a bigger one.
Yeah, I should have, really. I've got a wine glass. The trouble is, sherry in a wine glass is a little bit lethal. Now, I say, what I got for Christmas was the Series 5 box set, which included an InVision commentary on the 11th Hour, plus a few others, but the one I watched was the 11th Hour. Mm-hmm. And what I told you is, I found it really distracting, this InVision thing, because all that was on there that my eyes kept focusing on was Beth Willis's thighs. No offence, Beth, thunder thighs would be a quite fair description. And I just fixated with these thighs, and she had this short skirt on, and she was just sort of opening, not opening them, but crossing and uncrossing her legs. And
Sure you weren't watching Basic Instinct or Fatal Attraction or which one that was.
This was Beth Willis. But yeah, that's basically what stuck on my mind about watching the InVision commentary on that one. Fortunately, the next InVision commentary was A Victory of the Daleks. Just had Nick Briggs, Barnaby Edwards, and some other bloke, Piers, somebody or other, not Piers Morgan. Oh God, the clock, the things. Have you got time? We've come to our 9 o'clock. Watershed.
Yeah, haven't we? We'll carry on until the wife comes up and crack.
Okay, right.
We'll be doing a couple of minutes, so we'll crack on.
I also got two Daleks. Now, one was a beautiful Ironside Daleks whose protuberances were rather seized up, and I still can't get them to move. Bearing in mind, this is supposed to be a poseable figure. And the other one was a blue Power Ranger-style Dalek. But they do look rather good amongst my collection now. And I got the Nintendo Wii Doctor Who game with my iTunes voucher I got off my mum. And the iPhone app as well, which is a Doctor Who game you can get, which the name of which escapes me at the moment.
What's the Wii game like?
Quite good.
Wii Party?
No, the Doctor Who Wii game.
Well,
yes, that's right. We want to talk about Wii Party.
What's he on about?
Yeah.
we did play Wii Party. We did play Wii Party over Christmas. Now we're talking about the Doctor Who.
You're going to get a hit in the minute. Ooh, if you're not careful.
Yeah, we keep forgetting how tough Alicia is.
I am tough.
It's me.
My family was on, of course, over the Christmas period.
Woo!
And Nicola Bryant was on it, and she still looks blooming gorgeous.
What? I didn't see that.
It's the one where he has to go and look after this unconvincing old person, and he's not allowed to let him out. It's not the Christmas special. I think it was the one before the Christmas special. He's not allowed to let him out. Of course, he escapes. And right at the end of the episode, she pretends to be his daughter, this old bloke's daughter, Nicola Bryant's character. And she's still amazingly gorgeous.
Well, that's something I'll have to look up.
We also watched a series called K-9, as we've mentioned before, on Channel 5. But it's too distracting. bearing in mind that the programme is filmed in New Zealand, set in London, and none of the character actors are able to do British accents to a believable, you know, degree, why didn't they just set the blimmin' thing in New Zealand? Apart from the fact, if it's in London, they would have some connection with Torchwood, because it's obviously in the Doctor Who universe, because K-9's in it. Yes, K-9's regenerated, but they had the original prop at the original, at the beginning of the first episode. So they might as well, to detract completely from the British sort of Doctor Who world, had it set in New Zealand. Then they could have just done all their New Zealand accents and everybody, I think it would have just made it a bit better, because on the whole it's not too bad. It's just, it just seems woodenly acted because they can't do the accents. It just seems, it's like the reason I hate Mary Poppins so much.
I like Mary Poppins.
It's because Dick Van Dyke is so absurdly bad at doing the Cockney accent.
And it, but do you know why that is, though?
Why?
Because he was taught to speak Cockney by, and this is brilliantly rounding things up, by a New Zealander.
Oh, there you go, then.
That's why he was there. But I love that. That's fantastic. That's just absolutely bought that little thing round in a lovely circle.
Yes, yeah, linking. See, I'm learning from the master. Not the master as an anti.
I was like John Sims, that's right.
Of course, we have a new series of Primeval. It's just started back up on ITV.
You never used to like Primeval.
No, but it has Doctor Who connections.
How?
Because, first of all, Ben Miller is in Armstrong and Miller. Armstrong plays Mr. Smith in Sarah Jane Adventures. Miller obviously plays Lester, isn't it, in Primeval. So that, and of course, it is very, very, very much Invasion of the Dinosaurs brought up to date. That's what I thought of when I saw the first episode of Primeval. And of course, it's got the Doctor from Star Trek DS9 in it, playing a rather sinister character. That's the only thing I can really say about Primeval. What did you think of Primeval, Alicia? She goes off to sleep.
No, I'm just looking at this phone. Look how much I've changed over years. You ready?
No, what has this got? What?
Are you ready? Look. Me in year 5.
Yeah.
Me in year 6.
Yeah.
Me in year 7.
Yeah.
Me in year 8.
Yeah. Weren't you nice?
Look. Now me.
Lovely. Yeah, so...
8 minutes left on the battery.
That's all right, dun, dun,
dun. We haven't had one of them yet this week, have we? Oh, I can hear the wife coming upstairs to come and get me.
Well, I think I've done quite well. I might be able to add a few other bits. Oh yes, we've got to do. I'll discuss with you later. Because I've got to do a doodah in which we've got to discuss a normal episode of Doctor Who. So I'll have to contact you about that at a later time.
I
think we've done rather well. I'm sure there's other things. I might have to carry on with Alicia for any other. Not. Ah. What are you laughing at?
Oh no! Don't.
What's she doing?
The wife said she'd come and do something if I wasn't downstairs at 9, and she's currently trying to do it.
Surely that's quite a good thing.
Ow! Not the way she's done it. Ow. Alright, I can do my belt back up there.
Oh dear, you're evoking all sorts of images in our listeners' minds.
I'm
now.
Scared.
Oh, yeah, Alicia, be scared. Don't ever get married to a wife.
Well,
she's a girl. It's fine. She's not meant to get married to wives, darling.
I'm not a lesbian.
Yet.
I am. Anyway, I really better go now.
Yes. We'll try and do the news, I think, Alicia. Whilst,
he can't stop laughing.
Just as well, we haven't got the visual of this. Bye, Ben. See you next week.
Bye, Ben.
Yeah, sorry for having to go. I shall see you next week. Thanks very much, everyone. Don't forget to put my name on the emails.
Oh, yes, emails, yes. Good.
Bye, Ben.
Bye.
Bye, Alicia.
Bye.
Bye. Right, I'm going now. I'm logging off. See you next week. See you later in the week.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
But if you leave the ice now...
We've had so many Christmas Eves, Kazran. I think it's time for Christmas Day. What is that? What are you listening to?
This has come from outside. This has come from the actual clouds.
Oh, Well, the singing resonates in the crystals. It's feeding back and forth between the two halves of the screwdriver now. One song filling the sky. The crystals will align and I'll feed in a controlled phase loop and the clouds will unlock.
What does that mean, unlock? What happens when a cloud unlocks?
Something that hasn't happened in this town for a very long time now.
Actually, fair enough if you think about it.
Do
eBay.
Yeah, do eBay. You look up eBay.
I've already done that already.
Oh, go on then.
Top item is Dalek because the other item got taken off.
What?
You know, the chess pieces.
Oh.
They've got taken off, so the top item is the Dalek.
Well, that's not got any bids against it.
No, the 2,750 Dalek, to be precise.
Oh, that's quite nice, huh? What's item has got the most bids against it, then?
Fifteen bids, 1960s Bell Toys, Doctor Who, and Dalek's Wonder Slate.
Where? Oh yeah.
387.
Oh, you've just.
I didn't mean to do that. It's my computer.
What is it though?
I don't know.
Bell. Oi! Are you clicking on it? Bell's Doctor Who. Oh.
I didn't do anything.
You seem to be rather rubbish at that.
I'm not. Oh, bidding has ended for this item.
Oh.
1 minute remaining.
Oh, well.
Quickly, go!
No, it won't do it if it's ended.
No, it's ended.
Okay, well, that doesn't count then. Let's move on to the next one.
It's loading up. Be slow tonight.
Yeah, very slow. Come on.
I don't... It's loading slow!
Rubbish.
I'm not being rubbish. Oh yeah, find out where yeah, we'll get it out. The doctors and shirts on. V red. My shelf.
Go on then.
V red 1965 Doctor Who Dalek mint box cutter. Something's up.
Now let me just look at it. No, click on it.
I'm clicking on it. couple of full days remaining, so I don't care. Cotomastix, what's that?
What? That's just a make, isn't it? It's a Dalek. Rarier and Isis Vibe Dalek Mint Box Set. I don't know what it is, Cotomastix. Maybe it's a model Dalek that you have to build. Right, go back to the previous page.
Bye bye.
No.
There's no more biddies or anything at all. It's all by now.
No, I don't want, if you want to, can you go back to the bit where.
I'm offended.
That's a shame, isn't it? BBC America ratings, 727,000 viewers watched A Christmas Carol on BBC,
wow!
On the BBC America. That's pretty good. Runaway Bride on BBC was repeated on BBC One and got 1.5 million views. They've released more of those funny busts. One of John Barrowman's Captain Jack Harkness, and the other one of John Sims as the Master. Sims? John Sim as the Master. Voyager Damned got ratings of 1.4 million, and it's repeat. Matt Smith has made a Christmas visit for a Doctor Who fan in Northampton.
I'm just about to run out of battery.
Oh, what a shame.
My battery's in my room, so you have to speed along, Dad.
I'm speeding along. DVD update. Two stories comprising the Mara tales of the Snake Dance and Kinder are going to be released apparently on April the 12th, which is really good. This obviously backs up Mutants, which is coming out on the 3rd of February, etc. Can you stop doing that?
I need to ask Mum something tomorrow morning.
It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
No, I need to ask her if I can use her colour shampoo so my colour sits in my
John Barrowman's had to pull out his pantomime Aladdin.
Why?
In Glasgow.
Why?
I'm quite sure. Maybe he's having to do stuff for Torchwood. David Tennant, Kate, fourth in the poll of the most sexy celebrities in glasses. For somebody. Next Doctor rating, that got 1.3 million viewers. New Torchwood Series 4 details have been released. There is a spoiler, so I'm not going to click on that. So if you want to search that on Google, which is New Torchwood Series 4 details. Obviously, there is a BBC One trailer for the new series of Doctor Who. Planet of the Dead got 1.3 million viewers. End of Time Part 1 got 1.4 million viewers. Christmas Carol's final rating was, drumroll, well, you're going to do a drumroll. Alright.
You set up for a drumroll?
Yeah. 12.11 million viewers.
Wow.
There we go, that's a rather brief and quick look through the news this week. Christmas week, really. No podcast of the week this week, because I haven't listened to any, because I've been avoiding hearing what people have been saying about them. And I think that's quite logical, really. But thanks everybody that did send feedback of any sort into the show. That's really, really appreciated. And if you want to join the people who send in feedback, and please do, because we all love hearing it, and you can hear how chuffed Ben was to hear his name mentioned and I think as well. You can do so by the following methods. Our new email address, which is becoming more and more popular, thank goodness, is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. That's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. You can still send to the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback@hotmail.co.uk, or you can do comments via the 20megabyte.2podcast.podbean.com. Facebook, of course, you can add us as a friend on Facebook or join the Facebook group, the 20megabyte.2podcast. Of course, we are affiliated to the .2 Podcast Alliance, and you can also do a comment on iTunes. We have 4 comments on iTunes now, all positive, all 5 out of 5. So thanks everybody who's done that. More the merrier. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/adam20mbpodcast. And I think that's probably covered everything for this week. Have you had anything to actually say about the Christmas special, as you seemed to be a little bit sidetracked earlier on?
I liked it.
Was there anything in particular that you liked?
Catherine Jenkins singing.
Jenkins? I thought you didn't like classical singers.
I liked her singing.
What about her acting?
Good.
Good.
What accent has she got?
I think it's like accent. She's Welsh.
Oh, why?
She's gorgeous.
So am I.
We've managed to traverse.
I'm pretty.
Yeah, we've managed to traverse the journey of the podcast known as 20 Megabyte once again.
When did we start this podcast?
We started this podcast 3 days after my birthday on the 15th of May,
2010. We did.
Yeah, because I've got the software that we record the show on for my birthday.
I want to go to Southampton on my birthday and go and get Hollister all day. Okay. Or I want to go and get my nails done and get a spray tan.
Yes. So, there we go. We've managed to do the first show of 2011 and hope we actually managed to do it.
Woo, 2011! I'm very busy this year. Do you know that?
And things may return to normal as far as the way we record the show.
Dad. What? I'm really busy this year. Do you know that?
Are you? Why?
Busy.
Thank you for listening. Join us next week when we'll be doing episode 37 of the 20 Megabyte podcast. Bye bye.
Bye.
Where's the doctor?
I've been running faster than I've ever run. Now it's time for me to stop.
I'm going to need a SWAT team ready to mobilise, street level maps covering all of Florida, a pot of coffee, 12 jammy Dodgers and a fez.
Somewhere different, somewhere brand new. I wear a Stetson now. Stetsons are cool.
We've been recruited.
Recruited by who?
You're going to have to trust us this time.
You have to do this, and you can't ask why.
My life in your hands, Amelia Pond. You see these eyes? They're old eyes. And one thing I can tell you, monsters are real.